I'm a professor here in the Department of Human Services, and I run the Violence Prevention and Intervention Concentration in that department.
Okay.
I'm also department chair. And I was one of five people that was part of a Minnesota team that went down to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta last summer. There was an RFP that the CDC put out to states, to the Department of Health's in the different states, to bring a team down to talk about sexual violence, prevention of sexual violence on campus. And I've been working in this field in Minnesota for 20 years, so I know the people at the Department of Health, so they called me and asked me if I could be on this team. So the team included someone from the Sexual Violence Prevention Center at the Department of Health, which is a part of the Injury and Violence Prevention Unit there. Her name's Amy Kenzie. The prevention coordinator at the Minnesota Coalition Against Sexual Assault was there, and her name is Yvonne Cornier, and then myself, and then the associate director of the Women's Center at St. Cloud State, and the prevention coordinator at the Aurora Center at the University of Minnesota, Tracy Thomas Card. So the five of us went down for a couple of days. We got locked into the CDC because of all the security down there, as you can imagine. And we had a lovely gathering with 14 other states, just talking about what our states are doing around sexual violence prevention on college campuses. And Minnesota has a history of doing pretty strong prevention work. As a matter of fact, the legislature last 2 years ago for the first time put money into prevention and not just response into different communities. So that's how I got involved. And while we were there, we talked about what we wanted to do, sort of the state action plan around the issue. And we decided what we wanted to do was have a summit to invite schools to send representatives from their student conduct office, Title IX coordinators, safety, counseling, residential life, if they have those types of offices, athletics, et cetera, to come talk about the issue and what they can do in terms of prevention. And so we did it. You know, we have about 300 people from 57 different colleges and universities here at the conference, and we have a number of different workshops. You can take one of these with you if you don't already have one. That talk about, and the purpose is really to bring people together to connect and share resources for people who've been doing the work for a long time, to share best practices as well so that people can start doing the work. Really want people to learn from each other and form relationships as well. We have a Dropbox online that everything from the conference that's being presented is being put into. It's going to be open for people to add more things. So, you know, we're trying to use technology to our advantage. And this is really, I think for a lot of campuses, it feels like there are new federal and state requirements around sexual violence prevention on college campuses. 2013, the Campus Save Act, Sexual Violence Elimination Act passed. And Minnesota just adopted new laws in 2015 that Representative Marianne O'Neill, who spoke here yesterday, authored. And so there's a lot of nervousness about what campuses are expected to do, because a lot of campuses haven't been doing anything, and so it feels like it's out of nowhere. But really, this has been building for the last three decades. And so we kind of talked about that yesterday at the beginning of the conference, that this really has, you know, there have been requirements, but campuses haven't really paid really close attention to them. Now, Metro State last year sponsored a 20-hour training for people from different campuses, and we had about 45 people come to that. That was last summer. It was a much smaller event, but it was it had a lot more. Well, I'm trying to think of how many hours this one would be total if someone came to everything. I guess it'd be about 12 or 15. But this training was more focused on responding to sexual violence rather than preventing it on the campus. So the one last year was about responding. And that was funded by the Office for Student Affairs, or Office for Student Life. I'm sorry, I don't remember what it's called here.
I think it's maybe Student Life.
Yeah, and they sponsored that, and that was in collaboration with, again, my department, my concentration that I run, and Sexual Offense Services in Ramsey County, which is their public health. It's a part of the Ramsey County Public Health. They have a rape crisis center there called Sexual Offense Services, and they were co-sponsors and co-facilitators of that training. Well, we really want to provide practical resources to campus staff that they need to implement effective prevention strategies. We want to bring people together to network and to share resources and best practices. And we're also offering this training so that universities, colleges, that don't have a lot of resources but are still under new federal and state mandates that require training for certain staff members, that they can come here and get that training. I said yesterday in my introductory remarks to the conference that this training is going to allow people to check that box, but really it's about creating leaders in this movement. So we're hoping to get a few people very interested in continuing to do this work beyond just checking the box. This conference isn't really focused on students because it's about training staff members from universities in order to do the work. But we do sort of see a future where we provide more opportunities for students at a summit like this. You know, we have the idea that maybe we'll do this every year, and it certainly, I think, would be helpful for people if this was done every year because, you know, for example, Minsku has a lot of small two-year, you know, campuses where they don't have the resources and the time to spend put a whole lot of effort into this issue, but they still have to follow the same mandates as everybody else.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course, my hope is that Minsku will see this as an important issue and maybe put some more resources behind it to give those smaller schools maybe a systems person who's in charge of, you know, doing this work, or a few people who can go to different campuses and be confidential resources, because that's really the thing that we need on our campus. We have counseling centers, but you have to make an appointment and there's often a wait, and what we really need is someone who's going to be there or that's available at least by phone all the time, who can be a confidential resource for people to get help. Because when this kind of thing happens to you, you need to know what your options are, and you don't want to have to tell someone who's going to then trigger an investigation, because that's what happens with this issue now under new federal mandates, that they're actually not that new, they're just really being enforced now, that when a school finds out about something like this, they are obligated to investigate it because it's a Title IX violation.
Okay.
So Title IX guarantees equal access to education for everybody, and most people think of that as sports, like that means women get to play sports, right? Well, yeah, it does, but it also means that if you're the victim of an offense that is based on your sex, which sexual violence is, then the university has to do something to try to make that violation not hinder your access to education. So a university or a college won't get in trouble because that happens on their campus, but if it happens and they find out about it and they don't do anything about it, then you are in violation of Title IX.
Okay.
So that's a big reason why people are at this campus, is to get the kind of training that they need to respond effectively, and then to think about what they can do to prevent these things from happening in the first place.
This last week or two, there's been that big headline.
Sure, the Brock Turner case. Yeah.
That's drawing a lot of sort of correlations to this whole thing.
Yeah.
What do you feel about that?
Yeah, well, it absolutely is. You know, it's The Onion actually has done a very funny parody of all of that. What do I think of all that? I mean, I agree that the sentence is very light. I asked the question to my husband yesterday, you know, what do you think that sentence would have looked like if that person would have not been an elite athlete and had been a person of color.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I think we would have been looking at a very different sentence. But that's what we're fighting against. There is a history of people not taking this type of assault seriously. There are people who say, well, she was passed out. What does she expect? Well, if I drink too much, I expect a hangover. I don't expect to get raped, right? So, you know, there's definite culture change that has to happen here, you know, for people to hear a story like that and for even a moment think, oh, that poor guy, you know, his life is ruined now. I mean, that is just not the response we should be having when somebody rapes somebody else. And it's such a clear-cut case, you know. I don't know if you know the details, but, you know, it was he got caught red-handed, you know, in the act by two people coming by. He ran. He knew what he was doing was wrong. And was convicted. And we don't see a lot of convictions in acquaintance rapes, so I applaud the court system for that. But, you know, the sentence essentially says, it was kind of wrong what you did, you know. And I wouldn't say it's a green light for everyone else, but it's certainly a good example of what white privilege and elite athlete status can get you, even in this day and age. Yeah. So that, you know, unfortunately, because that happened this week, it probably has given a little bit more media attention to this conference and a little bit more fuel to people wanting to get here and be here and really participate. You know, sexual violence on campus has been in the news a lot in the last few years, and part of that is because President Obama and Vice President Joe Biden have really taken the issue on. One of them was at the Oscars and the other one was at the Grammys this year, talking about the issue, you know, in front of an audience of millions of people. Mm-hmm. There are two White House campaigns on the issue. One's called One is Too Many and the other is called It's on Us. And there are both a bunch of public service announcements related to each one of those campaigns. The Centers for Disease Control have done a lot of work on the issue. This is a public health issue. That's why the CDC, people are like, the CDC? Why is the CDC involved? They're involved because it's an endemic public health issue. I used to use the word epidemic, but an epidemic is something that spikes and then comes down. Mm-hmm. This is endemic. This 1 in 4 number of women experiencing sexual violence, 1 in 4 to 1 in 5 on the college campus, we keep finding that same number from the 1970s when studies first started to today. Yes. We constantly get that same number. And the science behind the numbers are very strong, you know, very sophisticated social science. And there's just no question that it's happening. And so it's, you know, I think it's finally sort of getting the attention that it deserves.